I want to thank Brother Delton for leading in music, Brother Marcus, Miss Pam up here today as well. We are grateful for the music ministry of Crawford Baptist Church in so many ways. This morning, we are going to shift our gears a little bit, and we're not going to be in 1 Timothy this morning where we were planning to be. We will do that, Lord willing, next Sunday and keep going through our study in that powerful letter of Paul to his son in the faith, Timothy. This morning, we do want to move into our time of pastoral prayer, as we call it, and have just a season of time in prayer. I do want to invite you, if you have a Bible, and I hope you do, if you will turn with me to the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 16. There's one verse I want to key on as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer in just a moment. John chapter 16. Again, as we come today, we have much to celebrate, to be thankful for. Every truth that was sung, and Delton put these songs, of course, together, and the Lord is speaking to us through these songs, and we're speaking back to Him as you have sung this morning. But those truths that were sung are very significant this morning, that which we have just participated in, that beautiful music. And we have much to celebrate. Again, Taylor, Madison, little Tayson, being able to come today. I think it's their first Sunday back with a little guy, and we're thrilled for that. Miss Julie Gomian had surgery this week and is recovering well at home. She has a very able assistant, I understand. Mr. Marty told me she did. Marty is that assistant. But she is doing well, and we're grateful for that. She had a thyroid removed Friday. Miss Pam is recovering. I'm thankful for that, sweetheart, that you are. And we love you. And she's in a lot of pain from the back surgery, but she is taking medication and making progress, and we are very grateful for that. Miss Marcia D'Souza was able to get home from the hospital after brain surgery a number of weeks ago. We're very grateful for Miss Marcia being strengthened and blessed to go home. We have all these blessings to be thankful for. We have a wedding coming up December the 9th. Tucker and Branna getting married. It's going to be awesome. We had another beautiful couple back in October get married, Sam and Brittany. And I've got others on the schedule to be married. It's wonderful. We have children, people, well, Delton and Alexis are expecting a child in April. And we're blessed. We're thankful for that. We have Brent and Adrian Howell expecting on July 12th, my birthday. And we've announced that on Wednesday night before. But we have these blessings to be so thankful for. And the foundation of all of these blessings is the truth of God's sovereignty and His grace. No other blessing really matters if there isn't God's sovereignty and His grace. And in thinking of that this morning before we go to pray, John chapter 16, and in these verses is recorded, Jesus is preparing His disciples for His arrest and beating and crucifixion. He's preparing His disciples for some very difficult moments. In fact, He uses the word tribulation here. And in John chapter 16 and verse 33, Jesus says to His disciples, "These things I've spoken to you so that in Me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, But take courage. I have overcome the world. This is a foundational verse. We're going to be looking at 1 Thessalonians in just a couple of moments today instead of 1 Timothy. 1 Thessalonians. But in this world, you will have tribulation. And Jesus says, but take courage. I have overcome the world. This morning, as we come to our pastoral prayer time, I do want us to remember the Korku people who are in Bangladesh. They are unsaved. They have no knowledge of Christ, no response to Christ. There's the picture on the screen, the Korku people in Bangladesh. There's a small number there in Bangladesh, but there's a larger world population of them. And again, there, if you'll notice, they're evangelical and 0%. That's known. We do know this based on Revelation 5, that our Christ, the King, is going to snatch people out from every tribe, tongue, people, and language. And there will be people from all people groups around the throne of God, worshiping in eternity on the new heaven, in the new heaven and new earth, as the Bible teaches in 2 Peter 3 and Revelation 21 and 22. This is going to happen. But we want to remember the Korku people because they need Christ. They're without Christ, and there is no hope in Christ. Again, John 16:33 says, these things I've spoken to you. We have the Bible for that, by the way. We have the Bible for that. These things I have spoken to you so that in me, that's crucial preposition, in me, you may have peace. In the world, you have tribulation. That's what you get. It's heartache and disappointment and betrayal and heartache and hardship, all these things. That's what we have in the world. In the world, you have tribulation, but Jesus says, take courage, I have overcome the world. And thank God for that statement in Scripture. There is hope for some people in this people group and every people group we pray for every Sunday because Jesus has overcome the world. In His death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and current reign, the world has hope. And that's the only reason the world has hope, is because of this statement. And we know the life and ministry of Christ. As we prepare to pray this morning, I do want us to celebrate the surgeries and the improvements and Taysen being able to be at Crawford for the first time on Sunday morning. We want to pray for those who are expecting children and how we want to encourage them and love them and pray for them. You know, that seems like such a little thing sometimes in our worldly way of thinking about things, but prayer is not a little thing. Prayer is a God thing, and God's a big God. And so our little prayers connect with an infinitely big God. And so that little prayer you might offer for Delton and Alexis, right, or praying for little Taysen and for Taylor and Madison and little Taysen, those in the Howell family, Brent and Adrian and their family and their family-to-be come summer when the new child comes, those things are big. Never underestimate the power of a Christian praying to the Heavenly Father through the Son, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We want to celebrate and thank God for these things. And so this morning, I would like to bow and pray, and then we'll continue this morning. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you that because He lives, I can face tomorrow. We thank you that great is thy faithfulness. Father, we thank you that you are sovereign and good and holy and righteous. And Lord, you are merciful and gracious to us, a sinful people. And Father, this morning we want to praise you for who you are omnipotent, omniscient, everywhere, omnipresent, holy, just, righteous, gracious, merciful, wrathful, just. You're happy. You cannot be defeated. You are God, and we are not. But we rejoice in you, O God. And we praise you, Father, today for the gift of your Son, who came and lived a sinless life on this world of tribulation, this wicked planet, dying for rebels and sinners who would spit in your face. We thank you today, O God, for who you are and what you have done in and through the person and work of your Son, Jesus Christ. And I do pray you'll help us to set our minds' attention and hearts' affection on you. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This morning we celebrate the victories. We do pray that you will bless these who've had procedures this week. We pray you'll continue to bless Miss Julie and Miss Pam. Strengthen and help them recover. Father, we thank you for those who are going to have children. We pray for Delton and Alexis and their little precious one. We pray for Brent and Adrian and their precious little child. We just thank you for the blessings. We thank you for this season of Thanksgiving where everybody is to be thankful for something. It could just be turkey, time off from work, or football. But Lord, for the Christian, it's way more than those things. We thank you for your love, for your patience with us. We thank you that you forgive a sinner like me, like us, if we will but turn from our sin and call upon the name of Jesus. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so, God, I pray. And we praise you. We praise you for the salvation. We thank you for Grace coming to know you, Lord, as her Lord and Savior, for her beautiful testimony this morning, the baptism. We thank you for the baptisms we had last week with Brother David, Miss Cheryl, and Sweet Peyton. We look forward to others in the near future, Lord, that will follow you in believer baptism. God, thank you. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for this faith family. This church is a unique and special place for us in this room. I am eternally grateful, O God, that you providentially brought Pam and me this way back in 2008, Lord, to be a part of this church and to serve you through this church. And so for all of our blessings, we thank you today. This is the week of Thanksgiving celebration, and we are grateful and we're thankful. And I'm thankful, O God, that when the bottom falls out for us, that you're there. And that you are our strong tower. You are our city of refuge. You are God of gods. And we praise you, O Lord, for that. And so now as we continue in our worship, we ask for your direction and your strength. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 In this world, you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Jesus said it was with that amount of certainty he could say that even before the cross. Amen. This morning, I want to share a couple of items with our faith family. If you're a guest today, again, this is kind of an unusual Sunday morning service. It's just the way that it is today. This Friday, not only did Miss Julie and Miss Pam have surgeries, but also Brother Joe Smith had heart surgery. on Friday. He had some blockages, and so they went in and did bypass surgery on him. And Brother Joe Smith passed away this morning at about 2:50 in the morning and was not doing well from his surgery. And so he's gone to be with the Lord, and we want to pray for his family today as they grieve the death of Mr. Smith. He was going to have back surgery and found out he had blockages, and so we had to have the open heart surgery, and then he passed away this morning around 2:50 a.m. at USA Hospital. Also today, overnight, Jonah Smith was in a very significant accident on Lot Road heading home, and he suffered an inoperable brain injury, which will not enable him to survive, is what the prognosis is. And Jonah's 19 years old. So I ask you today to pray for Kelly, and for Lydia, and for Anna, and for little Leah, and for Mr. and Ms. Jordan, grandparents of Jonah. And this is the day to pray and to seek the Lord. Reminds us of how frail we really are, how fragile we really are. We're all one heartbeat away from eternity. And we, as we oftentimes say, you don't have forever, but one day you will. And ladies and gentlemen, it's very important that this morning you search your heart and examine yourself to make sure you're in the faith and you're not playing church and playing religion and playing Baptists or whatever it may be in your mind. Those things don't amount to anything as far as eternal life. Eternal life is only found in Christ. And the message we preach is a message of hope. As we sang this morning in song after song, there is hope in Christ. John 16:33, so that in me, Jesus said, you may have peace. There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. Peace is only found in Christ. He has cornered the market on peace. In the world you have tribulation, present tense, but take courage. I have overcome the world. And so this morning, I want us to remember that we're all going to have trouble and that Jesus has overcome the world. And we need to embrace our pain and flee to Christ. This is what I believe the Word would have us do. We embrace that pain and that sadness and that brokenness for this family and for Mr. Smith's family. And for Mr. Prince's family. And all the others that we know are hurting and suffering. And we have a lot of people doing that. I mean, I have one that's just, Lord help me, the pain is so great. We pray for healing from physical pain. And the greatest of all suffering will be spiritual and eternal for those who do not know Christ. And how we need to plead for souls and for God to save our children. We don't want them just walking an aisle and signing the clipboard and going through the baptistry and not knowing Christ. They're lost. Do we see fruit in your life? Is there fruit in your life? Is there the presence of the Holy Spirit working, living within you? Do you have that blessed assurance that we sing about? And the Bible teaches is available in Christ. In me, you may have peace, Jesus said. And so this morning, I would like for us to go back to the Lord in prayer. I want to ask you, if you would, to bow your heads, if you would, or just look up if you need to do that. You can pray with eyes open. But, oh, how I pray that you'll pray. Now, Father, we do thank you for the celebration and the victories and the blessings. But this morning, our hearts as a church family are very heavy. Father, I want to pray for the Prince family today. The funeral for this man was yesterday. I pray for his wife and family. I pray for Brother Smith, Brother Joe Smith, Lord. Just spoke with him Thursday night. Pastor Glad was there to check on him Friday during the surgeries. And Lord, now he's gone to be with you. And Father, to be absent from the body for the believer is to be present with the Lord. We thank you for that truth. But Lord, I pray for his family, daughter, and other family members. Oh God, that you'll comfort them in this time of loss. His friends here at this church, comfort them. And Father, we just stretch out before you for Miss Kelly today and Joel, the father and mother of Jonah. Lord, comfort that dad and that mom. There's no sanity, there's no anything out of you, outside of you, Lord. They need you today. Lord, be their hope and their strength. Help them, O God. Please be with Jonah's siblings, Lord, Lydia, Anna, and little Leah, with the grandparents, Mr. and Miss Jordan, and other family members. O God, help them. Please comfort them, O God. I thank you for the body of Christ that is there ministering, Brian and Mary Jo and Pastor Jared, Miss Cheryl Perry, those who were there with Miss Kelly and the family. Lord, help us to be the body of Christ in these days. May we show everyone that we are truly disciples by the way that we love one another. Oh God, please help us. And please help them today. Help us have wisdom in ministering to these families in the upcoming days. Please grant us the wisdom we need and the compassion we need. May we represent Christ well. I pray that you'll help me as I seek to unpack truth from your word for our souls today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. So this morning, the time we have remaining, if you would look with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. the Apostle Paul here is answering questions from the Thessalonian believers concerning their loved ones who have died in Christ before Christ has come in the second coming, and they're confused. And will we ever see them again? If they're truly saved and in Christ, will we ever see them again? We have to remember, they did not have the completed New Testament like we do, the completed Bible at this time. Things were shared orally around. Letters were being written. Gospels were being written down. Eventually, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which gives us that foundation of Jesus coming and so forth. And so these letters are being read in different churches around Israel and the Middle East and eventually into Europe. But it was a process of the letters being written by the inspired writers and going. You and I can pick her up. You've got it on your phone. Let's take advantage of Scripture. Let's not neglect Scripture. I was telling our couples community group this day, one of the things that I repent of is not being in the Word enough. I need to be in the Word more. I need to feed my soul on the truths of Scripture. I need to know this book better than any other book. And that doesn't matter if you're an accountant or a lawyer or a congressman or whoever you are. Really, as a Christian, we need to master, as humanly speakingly possible, the truths of this Word, which we will never master them all. But we need to know the Bible. If you get cut, you should bleed Bible, as Charles Spurgeon used to say. We need to be men and women. How do you stand it all? How do you breathe when what happened to Miss Dina a couple of weeks ago and her precious family, the nun family? How do you even breathe when that happens? How do you breathe when you get that phone call or knock on your door in the early hours of the morning about your son or your daughter? How do you even breathe? We need to know the promises of God for us in His Word. We need to know the truth of Scripture from the Word of God. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul is addressing this issue with the Thessalonian believers there in the first century. And it's very helpful, I think, for us this morning. Let me read these verses. I'm going to make a few comments of application for us this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. I hope you have a Bible, and I hope you'll follow along. I am reading from the Legacy Standard Bible again this week. Really enjoy this new translation. So follow along with me. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So these words are written for the comfort of the church. That's us. And in this world, we're having tribulation today. But take heart. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. In this passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, again, there are some points that some people misunderstand as they read these verses. In one thing at a time like this, and you'll have even Christians say this, man, don't grieve, brother. Man, they with the Lord. They say to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Man, they're having more joy and much more light. They're alive now more than they ever were before. Now listen, I believe those statements. But there's a time and a season for everything. And the Bible does tell us to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. And that is absolutely essential for us as Christians. If we're going to live out our faith commitment to Christ and to the body of Christ He has united you with in your local church, we must have wisdom in how to speak and when to speak and what to speak. If you notice in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, Paul says, "We do not want you to be uninformed." Older translations say ignorant. It means uninformed. It means confused about this issue. Listen, this is not an issue you want to be confused about. Eternal life, you don't want to just play Russian roulette with your soul. You need to know that you know that you know that you know that you're trusting in Christ. Read 1 John, all five chapters this afternoon if you need to do. Read those and see the marks of the Christian and evaluate your life on the basis of the Word of God. But he says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep. This is a euphemism used in the New Testament to refer to Christians who have died. It's never used to refer to lost people. But this metaphor and euphemism, really, sleep, is applied to the death of believers. And notice this, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. Now, the people we saw on the screen there in Bangladesh today, and the others that we prayed through throughout the week on the Joshua Project app, and the ones we prayed for last Sunday and the Sunday before that, those who are outside of Christ, listen to me. The Bible says they have no hope. Our children without Christ have no hope. This ought to cause fear within our hearts, in a good sense that it motivates us to be faithful to disciple our sons and our daughters. Because apart from Christ, they are lost. They can die and go to hell from a seat at Crawford Baptist Church or being active in the youth group, just as the guy in Bangladesh who's never heard of the true Christ can die and go to hell. We have a responsibility so they're not uninformed and ignorant. And it's time that we, dads and moms, took our spiritual responsibilities seriously. I was telling Mary Grace on the way in today, life is not a game. I enjoy the games, but life is not a game. Life is but a vapor. We're here now and gone tomorrow. And we need to be ready to see the Lord. But notice what Paul says there. He says, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. He doesn't say you not to grieve. He just says we don't grieve as those who have no hope. It's only normal for the tears to come, the heart to ache. How in the world can I keep going on? We don't know. Breathe, rest in Christ. Pray, Lord, help me. But I told Miss Dina a few weeks ago. It's what I tell Joel and Kelly today. It's what I would tell Lydia and Anna and Leah and Bill and Betty Jordan. It's what I would tell them. Breathe. Rest in Christ. Pray, Lord, help me. That's what we have to do. But listen, if you see a brother or sister weeping, they may be weeping over their sin. That is a good thing. Conviction of sin is a gracious thing from God because, listen, you will never turn and repent of your sin and look to Christ as your Lord and Savior if you aren't mourning over your sin. If you somehow signed the card, rang the bell, did whatever you did to slip in and become a member of a church without having regeneration in your heart, that is God. God's word says you're lost. And when your time is up, it's up. And there is no second opportunity after life to make things right. Today is the day of salvation, right? Now is that day. Do not delay. But listen, Christians, it's okay to grieve, to have tears, and we're going to have a lot more this week. A lot more of them. Verse 14, Paul continues his argument. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, hard stop. All right? You're not a Christian if you don't believe that. You must believe that Jesus, the eternal Son of God, right? He was sent by the Father into this world. The only begotten Son of God was sent into this world. You have to believe that. So if Paul's statement here is, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that is, that's who makes a Christian, right? Even so, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. Now, this is interesting. A lot to learn here. He says, even so, God will bring with him, the him is capital H, right, for the deity, Christ. God's going to bring with him, Christ, those who have fallen asleep, those Christians who died, notice it, in Jesus. Amen. So for our loved ones who have gone from time into eternity believing that Jesus died and rose again, they have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. They have had He began that new work in them, and He promises Philippians 1:6, He's going to finish that work He started in you. He has begun that work. He is doing that work. He's still working on me. Amen. We used to sing that when we were little tykes, right? When we were little kids, we used to sing that. It's a great one to sing anyway. He's still working on me. It's a good reminder for a 62-year-old guy to know, hey, I hadn't arrived. I haven't crossed the finish line. I may retire from work, but I don't retire from maturing more and more in Christ. I'm to be growing in my relationship with Christ. And so, you see, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, God will bring with him those who have. So what happens here, and a lot of times after funerals, their families are, especially like teenagers or children, that will ask me after the funeral, what does that mean? Well, what that means is, you got to plug it in with 2 Corinthians 5:8. To be absent from the body as a believer is to be present with the Lord. So when we die down here, our soul and spirit is immediately with God in heaven. Safe and secure from all alarm. Amen. But on this day, the day of God's appointed return of Christ, when Jesus Christ returns to this world, right, He's going to bring those souls that are with the Lord now back. And what's going to happen, and we see it in these verses, is that the body is going to be miraculously resurrected from the sea or from the graveyard or from the ashes of the urn that have been perhaps scattered over whatever. Listen, that's not going to slow God down at all. No. The Christian way is burial, right? It's respecting that body until, from the womb to the tomb, we respect that. And I know cremation's popular. We're not debating creation. If that's again, it's not going to be a problem for God. The Christian, cremated, buried, died, it sank at sea, and just has, the body's just gone away. Listen, God hadn't lost track of one human being from all of human history, from Adam and Eve on. And they'll be restored. There is the resurrection for the just and the unjust, Jesus says. So those who've never trusted in Christ will be resurrected and face the judgment. Those who have trusted in Christ will be resurrected and enter into the blessedness of our Lord and His kingdom. And so That's what Jesus is saying. So the soul and spirit of our loved ones with Jesus now, see, God and Jesus are going to send those souls are going to come back in a nanosecond and be reconnected to that new resurrection body that God makes at the last trumpet, 1 Corinthians 15, at the last trumpet, and in the twinkling of an eye, it happens. That's what he's saying. Put the scripture together. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15, those last verses of that long chapter on the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15. Notice it, verse 15. Paul explains it to him right here, verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. So the Lord has spoken this truth to us. That's what Paul is saying. He's not just making this up. This is not hopeful counseling that's not rooted in truth. When you're dealing with grieving people, this is truth. And he says, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede. We will not go ahead of those who have fallen asleep. How's that work? Verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend. This is Jesus. Will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. Right? With the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. That connects it back to 1 Corinthians 15. And notice what happens first. The dead in Christ will rise first. So the soul and spirit of the departed believer is reunited miraculously, instantaneously in that corrupted body, that body of decay. But that body of decay is transformed. 1 Corinthians 15 explains that more than 1 Thessalonians 4 does. Those who are dead in Christ will be raised first, right? And then it says, verse 17, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. So Christ will return. The dead in Christ will rise first. Their bodies will be transformed miraculously, soul and spirit re-entering into that new resurrection body. Then they will be, and we who are alive and remain when this miraculous coming happens, if we happen to be in that generation, we too will be called up to be with the Lord. What does it say? In the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. And then what happens is, there are different interpretations of this, but eventually what's going to happen, this depends on your eschatological view, but we're going to come back to a renewed earth, a purified, perfected earth, and we're going to live and worship. And whereas the Garden of Eden was the temple of God and His worship in Genesis, the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the sea, as the water covers the seas. And so that's what's coming in the future. In verse 18, therefore, comfort one another with these words. So this morning, how can we comfort you? Number one, point you to Scripture. We can comfort you by pointing you to Scripture. We can comfort you this morning by asking you to examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. 2 Peter 1:10, make your calling and election sure. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Are you trusting in Christ? Let me put it this way. If there is any spiritual commitment that God is impressing upon your heart today, this pastor would encourage you to be obedient to that command upon your heart today. If you are being convicted of sin, of righteousness and judgment, and you say, you know, Pastor Jay, I don't know for sure if I'm saved or not. Well, in just a moment of time, we're going to have some pastors up here, and we're going to invite you, if you want to talk with someone or pray with someone, to come up. And we'll talk and pray with you. And we'll line up a time later this week to talk with you some more. We can't get it all done up here, but we can start the process. See, there's no time like the present, because we may not have tomorrow. We're not guaranteed this afternoon. I'm planning to be here at 4 o'clock for this very important meeting. I may not make it. That's how fragile life is. And so I encourage you to look to Scripture, the Word of God. I encourage you to examine your own heart. And if God is impressing something upon you, I need to call out to Christ, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. If He's impressing upon, then trust Him. Turn from your sin today. Perhaps you saw the beautiful baptism testimony and baptism, and you saw the ones last week too. Maybe if you were here, we had three last week, and you're saying, you know, I'm a Christian, but I've just never done that. Be obedient. Come and let us talk with you and pray and write your name down, and we go from there. We want to encourage you to be obedient to the call of God on your life. Trust God and be saved. Come for believer baptism if you are saved. Maybe you say, well, I'm a Christian. I've been baptized. I really have. I've been properly, biblically baptized. But I need, as a Christian, to be a member of a local church. Yes, you do. And I'm not just saying that. God says that in the Bible. And we can show you that in the Bible. And so maybe that's where you are. You're thinking about it, maybe soon. Let me just encourage you, pray about it now. And let me tell you, if God's putting it on your heart, do you think you need to wait? Is God like confused in His mind? I mean, is it like, well, I don't know if I want Brother Scott to be, or Brother whatever, Sam, or Brother what. I don't know if I want, you know, Joey to be a member of this church or not. I'm just kind of like dangling out in front of him so he can think about it, so she can think about it. Listen, if He's impressing on your heart to, as a Christian who has been baptized, to become a member, a covenant member of Crawford Baptist Church, why don't you obey today? What keeps you from calling on the name of the Lord and being saved? And then come speak to a pastor and say, hey, I'm trusting Christ today. I'm coming for baptism and membership. Or I'm coming as a Christian. I need baptism. Or I'm coming as a Christian who's been baptized properly by immersion, like we're taught in the Bible to do it. But I need to be somewhere. I need to be under the accountability of some pastors. And I need a community group to hold me accountable in a small group and to pour into me. And when my world falls apart and the rug underneath me is jerked away, I've got some people that are going to stand with me. And there are those of you in this room, you've had that. They stood with you when the baby's born. And they stood with you when your loved one was gone. And they stood with you in everything in between. Isn't it good to be a part of a church like that? It is. And so, how do we comfort you? Look to the Scripture. Obey the Scripture. Turn from your sin and flee to Christ. That is the word of comfort today. And we will inform our faith family through our text that we have for our members of arrangements for Brother Smith, and we'll let you know updates with Mr. Jonah Smith as well when we find out things from that, how that's going today. Would you bow with me in prayer? Brother Delton and the musicians will come back, and we're going to respond to God's grace.